Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma daf Ayin Ches. We got to the top of Ayin Ches Amid Aleph yesterday, actually. So we're going to start from the second to last narrow line toward the top of Ayin Ches Amid Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for his continued sponsorship. So today, we are going to sort of continue the discussion that we began yesterday. Yesterday, if you recall, you were talking about somebody who wanted to traverse a river or a stream on Yom Kippur for a certain reason that may be permitted. For example, to go be Mekabel a Rebbe, to go greet his father, to hear a shir. And we spoke about how and if one is able to go through the water, how high the water could be, if the person's allowed to go through on Yom Kippur. Today we're going to talk about whether one is able to walk through such a stream of water on Shabbos, and whether if a person is allowed to walk through a stream of water on Shabbos, whether a person is allowed to do so while wearing shoes, or if a person has to be barefoot while doing that. We're then going to talk a little bit about various, I don't want to call them tricks, but various methods that some of the Amoraim use in order to prepare things on Erev Yom Kippur, and then the Gemara is going to talk about Erev Tisha B'Av as well, in order to cool themselves off on the Yom Tzom. So certain things that they'd be able to do with making a towel wet or using other devices to cool oneself on the fast day if they were very hot and they wanted to cool down. Obviously, you're not allowed to wash yourself. You're not allowed to do rechitza on either of Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, but there are maybe other means that the person might be able to cool himself down. And then we're going to talk about other shoes that one is or is not allowed to wear on Yom Kippur. We're going to talk a little bit about putting shoes on children on Yom Kippur. This is talking about children who are not Higiya L'Chinuch, children who are not able to, who are not obliged in the mitzvah of Chinuch, but even if they're very, very young, there may be an Isser of them wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about some of the exclusions or the exceptions mentioned in the Mishnah about how even though we said that rechitza sicha nilas asandal arasar, we saw in the Mishnah already Rebbe Eliezer said certain people are mutter in these things for various reasons. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about that. So again, we left off Ayin Ches Amid Aleph. We are at the second to last skinny line on top, and we are going to start with the words in the parentheses. We will read the words in the parentheses. So again, what we had spoken about yesterday was, we had spoken about walking through water, wading through water on Yom Kippur in order to get to the other side. Let's use the example in order to greet your Rebbe to hear a shir. So says the Gemara, Teinach Yom Kippurim Deleka Minil. It's okay that you could walk through the water. I understand that you could walk through the water on Yom Kippur when you're not wearing shoes, and therefore there is no concern that you're going to violate the Isser of Schita, of wringing out, of trying to dry out the leather shoes that you're wearing because they're going to get waterlogged, obviously. But Shabbos, Dika Min Olmai. However, on Shabbos, when you're wearing shoes, because of course you're allowed to wear shoes on Shabbos, so Shabbos, when you're wearing shoes, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to walk through the river on Shabbos or not? In other words, are we afraid that when you walk through the river, when you walk through the water, you're going to have to, your shoes are going to get wet, and therefore you're going to come to violate the Isser Schita when you try to wring out, when you try to wring out your shoes from the water? So says the Gemara, Amar Nechemya, Chasnei de Bein Nesia. So says Nechemya, Chasnei de Bein Nesia, the son-in-law of the Bein Nesia, Na Chazisei L'Ravami V'Ravasi. I saw Ravami and Ravasi, the Matu Urkuma de Maya, that they waded through a pool of water via Vrua Derech Malbush, and they passed through the water Derech Malbush. So Derech Malbush means, what does Derech Malbush mean? Derech Malbush means that they were wearing shoes. So the question was, are you allowed to walk through the water wearing shoes on Shabbos? So we have eyewitness testimony of Ravami and Raviasi, who walked through the water wearing shoes. That's the way Rashi explains. Rabbi Nechananel has an interesting explanation. He says that when the Gemara says Derech Malbush, it means that they waded through the water and they weren't wearing the shoes on their feet, because that would have been a problem of Schita. We would have been concerned that the shoes would have gotten waterlogged and they would have come to violate the Isser Schita when wringing out their shoes. Derech Malbush actually means that they were wearing the shoes on their hands. So the concern was that they might get their shoes wet. So what they did in order to avoid getting their shoes wet was they took their shoes off their feet, they put them on their hands, and they were walking through Derech Malbush. And the Chiddush over here in the Gemara, according to the Rach, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, is that it's not an Isser of carrying. because they're not really carrying their shoes, they're sort of wearing their shoes like gloves, if you can think of it that way. So, but either way, we have the eyewitness testimony that Rav Yami and Rav Asi did walk through water, even though they were wearing shoes. Pashup Shad, according to Rashi, they were wearing them on their feet. So Tainach Minel. So I understand that's good if they're wearing a real shoe, because a real shoe is stable and it's solidly on your foot, and we're not afraid it's going to fall off your foot. But sandal Ma'ikel Ameimar, what about a sandal? Because a sandal is not such a stable shoe. It's not attached to the foot really well. And do we have to be afraid that it's going to fall off while you're walking, and then you're going to pick it up and you're going to be Maver Dalet Amas Pershus Rabim? So Amar Rav Richumi Anochazisi LaRavina. I saw Ravina, the other Derech Malbush, that he did walk through water, Derech Malbush, wearing a sandal. And so we see, obviously, that at least according to Ravina, he was not afraid that the sandal was going to fall off his foot, rather, and that he was going to perhaps come to carry the sandal. Rav Ashi says, sandal l'chatchila lo. That you're not allowed to wear a sandal l'chatchila. In other words, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to wear a sandal when you're crossing through water. Why? Because of this very concern. Because we're afraid that the sandal is not going to adhere to your foot well, that it's going to fall off, and therefore you're going to come to carry the sandal. Dalet amos pershus harabim. Says the Gemara now on Maisa. Resh galusa ikla lahagrunya. Lebei Rav Nosson. So the Resh galusa went to Agrunya, to the house of Rav Nosson. Rafram v'kula rabbanon asu lepirka. Raphram and all the other rabbis came to hear Shir. Ravina lo asa. Ravina didn't come to hear Shir. And this was on Shabbos when the Shir was given. And Ravina didn't come. So lamachar boy Raphram lafuki la Ravina midaiti la Resh galusa. So the next day, Raphram tried to assuage the feelings, the concerns that the Resh galusa may have had, that he may have been offended that Ravina didn't come to the shir. So he tried to figure out why it is that Ravina didn't come to the shir. Because again, the story over here was the Resh galusa came to Agrunya. So when the Resh galusa comes, everybody's expected to go come to hear the shir from the Resh galusa. Ravina didn't come. So Raphram wanted to go smooth over any hard feelings. So Amar Lei, so he said to Ravina, my time elo asa mar lepirka, so why didn't you come to the shir yesterday? So Amar Lei, avikoyevli, because my foot was hurting, avikoyevli kari, because my foot hurt me. So yiboy leklamesim masani, so that's not an excuse, so your foot hurts, a big deal. So if the bottom of your foot hurts, so put on a shoe, and so your foot's not going to be walking on the hard ground, and so you could come, you could have put on a shoe and you could have come. So says Ravina, gabatakari habi. So, no, it wasn't the bottom of my foot that was hurting. It was the top of my foot that was hurting. And therefore, it wouldn't have been, it's not like I was lacking protection when I was walking. So it's not like I needed a comfortable shoe or sneakers. At the top of my foot was hurting. And that's why I couldn't walk. So says Raphram, Iboy Loch Lemirma Sandola. Okay, so, but if the top of the foot was hurting, who said that you had to put on a shoe that wasn't closed and therefore it was going to rub against the top of your foot? You could have worn a sandal. So the sandal, the sole would have protected the bottom of your foot. There would have been no material on the top of your foot. It would have been a great shoe. So Raphram is making footwear recommendations to Ravina. So Amarlei, Urkama Demaya Haviburcha. So he keeps pressing, and Ravina ultimately tells him, well, the problem is there was a pool of water in between me and where the shear was. So says Raphram again, not deterred, he's very pushy. So he boiled in the Mavri Derech Malbush. Well, you could have kept your shoes on and you could have waded through the water. So still not an excuse as to why you didn't come. So Amarlei, Lo Sabra Lamar Laha Damar Ravashi Sandal Chatchila Lo. So says Ravina to Raphram, don't you hold by Ravashi that by what Ravashi said, that you're not allowed to wear a sandal while passing through water on a lechatchila basis, because lechatchila you're not allowed to wear, because we are afraid that there's a chash that maybe the sandal's going to fall off your foot while you're wading through the water and you're going to come to carry it through the river, and therefore you're going to be maver the sandal dal anamish pshus rabim. So lechatchila you're not supposed to wear a sandal. It's only if b'di'evit, if you're in a b'di'evitic situation and you encounter a body of water while you're wearing a sandal, then you're allowed to walk through. But I hold lechatchila, I hold like Ravashi, that lechatchila you're not allowed to wade through. And it's interesting, Ravina thought that his situation was one of lechatchila. In other words, it's not like he didn't assume, well, since the only way I could get to the shir is if I wade through, then I have a din of a b'di'evit, and the situation is like a din of b'di'evit. No, He thought that his situation was lachatchila because it was within his control. Should he start going or should he not start going? And that much is lachatchila. What would have been b'di'evid? B'di'evid would have been, let's say he was already on the way to the shir. Say he's halfway to the shir. He already walked an hour. Now he comes to the body of water. So what should he do? Should he turn around or can he wade through? That would have been a b'di'evid. But knowing that the body of water is in between him and the shir, and knowing that he had to wear a sandal because his foot was hurting, so that had the status of a lachatchila, and therefore he didn't go to the shir. Says the Gemara Viter. So Tani Yehuda bar Grogros, says Rav Yehuda bar Grogros, Osur leishev al gabei tina b'yom kippurim. It's osur to sit on mud on Yom Kippur. So that sounds pretty gross. Why would you sit on mud? So Rashi explains, shelich l'chatit havi oneg karev l'rechitza, because the mud is moist, obviously, and the moisture, the moistness of the mud is going to create a tanug. It's going to be enjoyable for him, and it's almost like rechitza. If you can envision, sitting in mud is almost like rechitza, but I guess the moisture and the coolness of the mud, we're afraid that it's going to be a lack of tanug, and it's going to be quasi-rechitza, almost rechitza, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. Summer of Yeshua ben Levi, Vatina Mitzpachas. We're talking about moist mud, because if it's dry, if it's like already caked, then obviously there's no problem of sitting on the mud, just like there's no problem of sitting on the ground on Yom Kippur. It's only if it's moist. And how moist does it have to be? Amar Abaya v'tafeach amenas latfiach. It has to be moist enough so that if something else is on the mud, that other item, that other article is also going to become moist. So tafeach amenas latfiach is, let's say if the mud is a little bit moist and you put a towel down, so if that towel in turn gets moist enough to make something else wet, that's tafeach amenas latfiach, then it's going to be usher to sit on the mud. If the mud is only a tiny bit moist, and therefore if you put a towel down on the mud, the towel itself wouldn't get wet, then that's not tafeach amenas latfiach, in that case it's going to be mutter. Says the Gemara Viter, another technique to cool yourself, Amar Rav Yehuda, mutter leitzanim beperos. It's mutter to take, let's say, like cold fruits that are on your icebox or in your refrigerator, and you're allowed to put them on your body on Yom Kippur. Rav Yehuda mitzanim bekara, Rav mitzanim bianuka. So Rav Yehuda would be mitzanim with a gourd that he would take peros, he would take vegetables, and he would put them on his body in order to cool himself down. Rava would be mitzanim with a baby. So he would be mitzanim with a baby. Why? Because a baby's skin is very cool and is very soft. So he would take a baby and he would put the baby on his skin on Yom Kippur in order to cool down. Okay, so Rava mitzanim bekasa dechaspa. Rava would take a silver kos and he would put it on his body and he would therefore cool himself down. He would cool himself off with the silver kos. And Amar Rav Papa kasa dechaspa mole aser chaser shari. If it's full, then it's going to be usher. If it's empty, then it's going to be mutter, because the silver itself, the metal itself, is a little bit cool. So therefore, it's mutter to put an empty silver kos on your body. It's usher to put a full silver kos on your body. Why? Because we are concerned that maybe some of the liquid is going to spill out. It's going to go on your skin, and that is going to be an issue of rechitza. So if it's going to be full, then it's going to be usher. Says the Gemara Viter, the Pachra, Idi v'idi aser. However, by a klei cheres, they're both going to be aser. Why? Mishum de mishchal shachil, because it seeps a little bit. So, in other words, the water will seep through a little bit, and therefore says it's aser yishanim. Therefore, it's aser to use a klei cheres to cool down, even if right now the kli is empty. Why? Because we're afraid that there might be some moisture in the kosleya kli. There might be some moisture in the kli left over from when it was previously filled, because the cheres is porous, and we're afraid it still might contain some liquid. However, the Rambam appears to imply that the kli cheres is only going to be usher when it's full, when there's water in it. But if it's empty, then it would be mutter. But I think the push-up shot is like Tosfos Yishanim, right? That the silver cup is usher only when it's full. It's mutter when it's empty. The klei cheres is going to be usher even when it's empty right now, because we're afraid that the walls of the kli may contain some residual moisture. Says the Gemara Viter, we're about halfway down. So Rav Ashi Amar Kasa Dechaspa Chaser, Nami Yasser Mishum Demizdariz, that even a silver kos which is chaser, which is not totally full, but if there's a little bit water in it, it's still going to be aser. Why mishum de mizdara is because we're afraid it might slip out of your hand. And Rashi says the problem if it slips out of your hand is that the liquid, whatever liquid is in the kos, even if it's not full to the brim, whatever liquid is in the kos might fall out and it might go on his body. That's going to be an iser of rechitza. Ziri bar chama. Ushpezichnan de Rav Ami Vravasi. So Ziri Bachama was the host of Rav Ami Vravasi, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Vidukulu Rabbanan Rura Kisvi, and all the Rabbanan of Kisri. Sahavi. So Amarle the Rav Yosef Bere the Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Bar Amarle Rav Yosef Bere the Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Bar Uriya Ta'ema Lachmil Samalia Davi Avid Avuch. So go tell me some like neat thing that your father used to do. So it says, so matfachas hayelo be'erev Yom Kippurim. So he took a towel on Erev Yom Kippur, v'shoro oso b'mayim, and he would soak it in water, v'osa oso kamin kalim neguvim, and then he would wring it out so that it remained only moist, but he would wring it out very good on Erev Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur, just like on Shabbos, there's an isser of schita, and therefore, if the towel were really, really wet, on Yom Kippur, we're afraid that Shema Yischot. So what he would do is he would make the towel very wet on Erev Yom Kippur, then he would wring it out to substantially dry it before Yom Kippur. Ulamachar makaneach ba'panav yada v'raglav. And then on Yom Kippur, he would wipe his hands, his feet, and his face with the towel, and he wasn't afraid that it was going to be an issue of schita, because the towel at this point was not tofeach almanas latviach, because the towel, and nor was it an issue of rechitza, because it wasn't like really that moist, there was only a tiny bit of residual moisture. So Rav Tisha B'Av, shora osam b'bayim, Rav Tisha B'Av, he would do a similar thing, but he wouldn't wring it out on Erev Tisha B'Av. Why? Because on Yom Kippur, remember, he had to wring it out because on Yom Kippur there's an iser of schita. On Tisha B'Av, he didn't have to wring it out because there is no schita on Tisha B'Av. So he would make the towel wet from Erev Tisha B'Av. Ulamachar mavir al gabei einav. And the next day he would pass it over his eyes, and he would cool himself off that way. And again, he wouldn't make it like Kalim Neguvim. He wouldn't wring it out on Erev Yontif, as we said, because on Erev Tisha B'Av, because there is no Isser Schita on Tisha B'Av. So V'chein Kiyasa Rabba Bar Mari Amar Be'erev Tisha B'Av Mevi'en Lomit Pachas B'Shorosa B'mayim U'minicha Tachas Merashosav. He would put it underneath his pillow, and the next day he would wipe his hands, his face, and his feet with it. And he would make it like kelim neguvim on Erev Yom Kippur. He would soak the towel, then he would wring it out. And the next day he would pass it over his eyes. That's what he used to do. So Amar le Rav Acha le Rabbi Yirmiya bar Tachlifa ifchat amratlan. I thought it was the opposite, that on Tisha B'Av he made the kelim neguvim, and on Yom Kippur, he didn't make the Kalim Neguvim. In other words, on Yom Kippur, he didn't wring it out, but on Tisha B'Av, he did wring it out. So he said, no, Vosivnach Schita. And then he realized, the Isser of Schita. That's why on Yom Kippur, when he would make the towel wet, he would have to make sure to wring it out so that he wouldn't come to be Sochet the towel on Yom Kippur. By Tisha B'Av, again, when there is no Isser of Schita, he would make it wet. There would be a little bit of residual moistness, but he wouldn't have to be so concerned with how moist it was exactly, because there was no Isser Schita on Tisha B'Av. Says the Gemara, now Viter. Amar Rav Menashe bar Tachlif, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana, Sholu es Rabbi Lazar. They asked Rabbi Lazar the following kasha. Zokain v'yoshev b'yeshiva. So if you have a zokain who's yoshev b'yeshiva, what does it mean that he's sitting in the yeshiva? It means that he's a member of Sanhedrin. So you have a zokain who's a member of the Sanhedrin. Tzorich litol rishos lahater b'choros orain tzorich. Does he need a separate sort of smicha in order to be matir b'choros, or does he not need a separate smicha to be matir b'choros? So matir b'choros means in order to paskin whether the b'chor is going to be a balmum or not. So my kami b'ailu. So what's the question? So ki kami b'ailu. So this is the question. So ki haldi amar rav idi bar oven davar zeh hini cholem lebe nasiya. So they left this to the base hanasi. So in order for the base nasi to be exalted in this way, so tzorech litol, So therefore, you have to. Therefore, you need the reshus from the base nasi in order to be matar b'choros. So that it's a sign of respect that in order to be matar b'choros, before you're going to do it, you're going to go to the base nasi to get permission. So it's a great covenant to the base nasi. So do we say therefore that you do have to be notol reshus in order to paskin odilma even the zaken miyosha b'yeshiva ain't sarich? Or do we say, well, since the guy's a rabbi, so if he's a rabbi, he's entitled to paskin. He doesn't need a separate type of smicha in order to be in order to paskin b'choros over here. So I'm in Rabbi Tzadok ben Chaluka al Raglav. So Rabbi Tzadok ben Chaluka stood up. Ve'amar ani risi is Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. I saw Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. So shezaken v'yoshe b'yeshiva haya, that he was a zaken and he was a yoshe b'yeshiva. In other words, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Ve'amad b'mala mizikno shelzeh, and he stood on the steps of the grandfather of this one, meaning at the Beis Hanasi. V'neltol reshos latir b'choros, and he had to take reshus in order to be matar b'choros. So we see over here is a raya that you do need this separate permission. You do need this separate sort of smicha in order to be matir b'choros. So here, generally, when we talk about paskening halacha, there's obviously a difference between paskening halacha and paskening halacha. So by b'choros, he's paskening whether or not there's a mum. There are often times, though, that somebody might come up to you and say, "Oh, what's the halacha legabe something? I don't know, legabe netilas yadayim, or I forgot to count sfira last night. Can I count during the day?" And it's an obvious psak. So that's not considered to be a psak halacha that one requires smicha for. That's called a mare makam. You're just basically telling him what it says in the Shulchan Aruch or what it says in the Mishnah Berura. But for something like this, which is like really paskening halacha, that's the type of halacha that we're talking about when we debate in the Gemara whether you actually need a smicha to do it. So anyway, we had a question. Do you need a separate type of smicha, separate netilas reshus from the Beis Nasi in order to be matar b'choros? And we seem to have eyewitness testimony that yes, that you do need separate permission, even though you're already sitting on the Sanhedrin, you would still need separate permission in order to be matar b'choros. So Amar Le Rav Abba, so says Rav Abba, now we're four lines up from the bottom of the page. So Amar Le Rav Abba, lo kacha ya maisa. No, that wasn't the maisa. It wasn't that Rav Yosi ben Zimra was a zaken b'yosha b'yeshiva and he was notol reshus to paskin b'choros. Ela kacha ya maisa. Rav Yosi ben Zimra, kohen haya. Ah, so the issue was that he was a kohen. So he was an agav dover then, because if the Bukhar had a balmum, if the Bukhar was a balmum, then the kohen could keep the animal for himself. So he was a kohen, and he wanted to know. So kohen oyevachi kami boile halacha k'rav meir diamara chashad bedavar lo donav lo meido. Is the halacha like Rav Meir, who says that somebody who's a chashad bedavar, he can't judge nor can he testify on that matter? Let's just pause here for a second. Chashad bedavar, what does it mean? Chashad, if he's actually choshe to be over an avera, of course he's not going to be able to judge. Of course he's not going to be able to give testimony. So Rashi explains, when we say chashad, it doesn't mean that he's actually choshe to violate the avera. It means he's self-interested. It means we're afraid he's unbiased because he has a stake in the outcome of the psak halacha. In other words, that we assume, therefore, not that he's violating the avera, that he's going to violate the avera, but that he may have a taiva in order to ensure that the psak comes out a certain way, because he's a kohen, and if he paskins that the bechor is a balmum, then he's going to be able to benefit from the animal himself. So do we paskin like Rav Meir, who says that if you're choshed bedavar, if you're self-interested in lo donav lo meido, then you're not allowed to judge in a matter, nor are you allowed to testify? Or do we say like Rav Shim Gamliel? So it's interesting. Even Rav Shim Gamliel says that if you're choshev adover, if you're self-interested, you're not allowed to paskin on your own animal, because if you're paskining on your own animal, whether it's a bechor or not, then you're going to get to keep your own animal. So that's a real self-interest. That's a conflict of interest. The question is, if you're a kohen, are you allowed to paskin for somebody else? In other words, do we say that there's some sort of fraternity of kohanim, and therefore you're going to try to, make sure the animal has a mum, and therefore the animal is going to go to the kohen? Or do we say no? Unless you're actually personally standing to benefit from it, then we're not afraid of this. So who's the halacha like? So upatra le'alacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he paskin that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and this was obvious by the fact that this person who was a kohen went to be notol rishus in order to paskin b'choros shailus, because he held the only time he's not allowed to paskin is when it's his own individual self interest. When it's stam another kohen, then he's allowed to paskin. So v'su kami boilei ma'olas is pesandol. The reason that we bring this question is that he asked another question: ma'olas is pesandol shel sham b'yom kippurim. Are we allowed to walk out, and turning over to Ayin Chesem at Beis, are we allowed to walk out with a sandal made out of rush, which is a reed-like material, on Yom Kippur? Samar of Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni al Raglov ve'amar ani reisis Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi sheyotze besandal shel sham b'yom kippurim. I saw Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi walked out with a sandal made of reeds on Yom Kippur. V'amina le betanis sibur. Or others say that it was actually on a tainis, it was on a tainis sibur. Tainis sibur, says Rashi, those were one of the tanias, not like the one we observed yesterday. That's one that they would observe for geshamin. This Gemara here is a little difficult, right? Because like, what's the purpose of saying, oh, others say that it was a tainis sibur? If you're allowed to walk around with a sandal made out of reeds on Yom Kippur, then certainly you should be allowed to walk around with a sandal made out of reeds on a tainis sibur. So it's a little bit difficult what the havamina is. In other words, if you're allowed to do it on Yom Kippur, why wouldn't you be allowed to do it on a tainis sibur? Now, we're not talking about Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av, there's another issue because Tisha B'Av, there's a din of avelus on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, it could be that on Tisha B'Av, we're even more machmir regarding footwear, because there are limitations on the type of footwear that an avel is allowed to wear as well. But taking Tisha B'Av off the table, if you're allowed to do it on Yom Kippur, why wouldn't you be allowed to do it on a tanis sibur? So the Mefarshim explained, well, it could be that sometimes we actually find this in the Gemara, that asu chachamim chizuk b'dereyem yoser mishal Torah, that sometimes the chachamim are more machmir on derabanan dinim than they are even on Dinam Daraisa. So it could be that by Yom Kippur, where it's a Daraisa and everybody knows that people are going to observe Yom Kippur, they're not going to take advantage. Maybe they said that this type of footwear is mutter. However, on the Tanis for Geshamim, which is only a Drabanan Din, maybe they were more afraid that people would come to be Mezalzel and they would come to violate, and therefore maybe they were even more stringent in that scenario. But in any event, we see testimony that this type of sandal was worn on Yom Kippur and other sand, a tanis sibur. So v'amina b'tanis sibur mai, samar lei lo shna. He said it doesn't make a difference. So amar rabba b'barchana, ani reisi es rabbi liezer demin ninve, sheyotze b'sandal shal sham b'tanis sibur. I saw him walking around with a sandal made out of reeds on the tanis sibur. V'amina lei b'yom kippur mai. So this is the reverse. And then he said, what's the halach on Yom Kippur? Samar lei lo shna, no difference, both on Yom Kippur or on a tanis sibur shal geshamim. You're allowed to walk around with a sandal made out of reeds. Rav Yehuda nafik b'dehitni. Rav Yehuda walked out with a sandal also made out of reeds, with a type of rush. Abaya nafik b'dehutzi. Abaya walked out with a sandal made out of palm leaves. Rava nafik b'dikli. Rava walked out with a sandal made out of grass. Rabba Barbaruna Karach Sudra Kare Vinafik. He wrapped a handkerchief around his foot, and then he walked out wearing that. So Mosav Rami Barchama. So Rami Barchama asked the following kasha. Hakiteya Yotze Bekavshalo. Is an amputee allowed to walk out with a wooden foot on, with his wooden leg on Shabbos? This is not talking about Yom Kippur, this is talking about Shabbos. So we have over here a brisa that says Akiteya Yotze Bekavshelo Diver Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that an amputee is allowed to walk around with his wooden leg. Rav Yosei Amar Vitani Allah Veshavin Shaasar Lases Bo Biyom Kippurim. And Rav Yosei says it's Asar. And then we learn that everybody agrees that it's Asar to walk out with his wooden leg on Yom Kippur. Why? Because this wooden contraption at the bottom of his foot is considered to be a minol. It's made for protection. And on Yom Kippur, there's an isser of nilas hasandal, and therefore it would be usser for an amputee to walk around with his device on Yom Kippur. So it says Abaya, that's only in certain circumstances. Amar Abaya, hasam this bake sisin umishum tanug. No, that's only when the amputee has rags that are sort of in the base kibul of this apparatus this prosthetic, and therefore the rags are going to make it a tainug. It's going to be a tainug, a lack of inui, if he wears this prosthetic on Yom Kippur. Zemele Rava v'ilav v'ilav manehu ksisim mashvilei mana. So says the Gemara. Hang on a second. Is it a shoe or not? So in other words, you're going to say, you're not allowed to walk around with this if there are the handkerchiefs there. So the Isser on Yom Kippur is Nilas HaSandal. So if it's a shoe, then it should be Usser. If it's not a shoe, then it should be Mutter. So what are you clearing here? If there's a rag in it, then you're not because of Tanug. Samalei Rava, V'ilav Mana Uksisa Mashvilei Mana. V'od Kol Tanug Dlab Minagu B'Yom HaKippurim Mi Usser. Is it usher to have any enjoyment on Yom Kippur? It's not usher to have any enjoyment on Yom Kippur. The Chachamim, the Torah, according to the Maan D'Amar, says that all of the Inuyim are usher midaraisa, or we saw this machlokas already many times in this perek, between the Tosfos Yerushalmi and the Ramban, whether all the Inuyim are usher midaraisa, or only if Achil and Shtiyah are usher midaraisa, and the rest of them are usher midrabanan. But whether it's a din d'rabanan or a din d'araisa, there are well-defined categories of Inuyim that are going to be usher on Yom Kippur. So who are we to come and say, anytime there's a potential that you're going to have enjoyment, it's usher on Yom Kippur? There's no iser like that. So says the Gemara, V'yod kol tanug d'lav minol hu b'yom kippur mi aser, v'rabba baravuna v'karach sudra akare v'nafik. And this is the reason that we're quoting all this, because Rabba Baravuna would in fact wrap a handkerchief around his foot, and he would walk out like that. V'od mitanik seifa, and furthermore, from the fact that in the seifa it says, em yesh lo beis kibul, if there is a base kibul, then ksisim tame, then the rags that you put in there are tame because it has the status of a kli. Mechlal the resha lav bid isle ksisin askinan. So mechlal and the resha, when we're talking about the amputee and the prosthetic, we're not talking about a situation where there are rags there. So ella marava liolam dekuli alma minulhu. Ah, now everybody says it's a minul, and that's why on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to walk out with it. It's got nothing to do with the fact that it's tanug and there's a rag and it's too comfortable with the prosthetic. That's ridiculous. The reason that you're not allowed to walk around with it is because it has the status of a shoe. Uve Shabbos b'hal pligi, and on Shabbos, this is what the argument is about. Mar Sava Gazrina Dilma Mishtamit V'yasi Lasuya Dalad Amas. One says that we're afraid that it's going to come off, it's going to slip off, and therefore you're going to wind up carrying it Dalad Amas Bershus Arabim. Umar Sava Lo Gazrinan, and the other says that we are not gozer about this on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to wear it. We're not afraid that it's going to slip off and you're going to wind up carrying it. Dalet Amos, Birishus Harabim. Okay, so let's go weiter. So Tana Rabbanan. Tinokos mutarim bekulam. So tinokos are mutar in all of the inuyim. In other words, they're allowed to be ochel, they're allowed to be shosa, you're allowed to anoint them, you're allowed to bathe them. Chutz minila sasandal, except for nila sasandal. So says the Gemara, Maishan nila sasandal. Why are they not allowed to wear? This is like, that's an odd one. Why of all inuyim are they not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur? So damri inchi of delay, because there people are going to assume that the adults put the shoe on the child. So hanach nami inchi avdilach. So what does that mean? In other words, whatever a child is doing on Yom Kippur, and we're talking about a child that's not higia lechinuch, right? Because if the child is higia lechinuch, then fasting is a different story. Fasting we saw earlier, but forgetting about fasting, let's say rechitza sicha. If the child is higia lechinuch, then you're not allowed to give a child that's higia lechinuch a bath on Yom Kippur because he's higia lechinuch. But we're talking about a small child who's not even higia lechinuch. So what's the problem then? So the problem is that if the child is wearing a shoe, everybody's going to know that the adult put the shoe on him, says Rashi, and that's a problem because the Torah warned Gedolim not to cause Katanim to violate Isurim sort of actively. And again, this is not the issue of chinuch. This is more of an issue of like machilo iser b'yadayim. This is an issue of facilitating sort of active massive violation of an isser. But the Gemara's question is, we're talking about a small child, obviously, because we're talking about a katan shelo hagiya lechinuch. So whatever the child does, an adult did for him. So you're going to say he's allowed to do everything, but he's not allowed to put on shoes because we know that the adult put shoes on him? Well, the adult does everything for him. So rechitza v'sicha amar mede esma lavdilei. No, because by rechitza and sicha, there's a chance that the adult did it yesterday. There's no, right? It's not conclusive that the adult did it that day on Yom Kippur. So sandal nami imra me esma lavdilei. So maybe if the kid is wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, we'll assume that the adult put the shoes on the kid on Erev Yom Kippur. Who said that he put the shoes on the kid on Yom Kippur? So sandal lo efshar demi esma lavdilei. It's impossible that the shoes were put on the child before Yom Kippur. Why? The Amar Shmuel haiman deboy lemitzam time demi susa. Because if you want a taste of death, l'sayim esani v'ligni. So you should put on shoes and you should go to sleep. So in other words, it's a very bad thing to wear shoes when you're sleeping, and therefore nobody's going to assume that you put the shoes on the kid before he went to sleep from Erev Yom Kippur. The Rashash asks that the Beis Yosef brings down that the Talmidei Chachamim would wear shoes for the entire week, which is mashma that they used to wear shoes even when they were sleeping. And so the answer is, well, there's a difference between sleep and sleeps. In other words, Talmidei Chachamim, they were sitting up all night in the Beis Medrash, they were only taking cat naps. So in that situation, it's mutter to wear shoes. When you're actually lying in bed, like a tinok would lie in bed, that's when you're not supposed to wear shoes because it's tam demisa. So says the Gemara, v'mutarim lechatchila k'tani. It says mutarim lechatchila. So what are you telling me? It says tinokos mutarim bekulan chutz minulas asandal. But it says that it's mutar lechatchila. So what are we worried about? So says the Gemara, elahanach to lav Rabbi Sayu gazru b'rabanan. Hanach to Rabbi Sayu avi who lo gazru b'rabanan. So in other words, it's only for it's for types of activity that's not necessary for the child's development as an individual to keep growing. Then the Rabbanan were gozer. So in other words, is it going to stunt the child's growth if you don't put shoes on him on Yom Kippur? So obviously not. So therefore, don't put shoes on the kid on Yom Kippur. Is it going to stunt the child's growth if the kid is filthy and he's going to catch some disease, and therefore you have to bathe him, or more to the point, is it going to stunt the child's growth if you're not going to give him food or water? Of course. So that's in that situation we said, you know what, the ketanim don't have to abide by these halachas, but by halacha like nilas l'sandal, big deal. So the kid won't wear shoes. So, Damar Abaya Amrli Aim, Rabise Dinuka Maya Khamime, the way to make sure a child grows nicely is to give hot water, umishcha, and oil. Gadol Purta Biyata Bekucha, when the child gets a little bit older, you have to feed him Beitza Bekutach. Gadol Purta Tvure Mani, Kiyada Rava Zavin Leimani Gzizi Depachra Livnei Imitabrile. And we saw this earlier in the Masechta. I think the rabbi actually commented there are rooms like this where you could go and just break stuff. But when the child gets older, it's kedai to give him some utensils to break to get out all of his aggression so that he can fulfill his taiva with breaking these utensils. He won't come to do anything even crazier. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, first wide lines. Amelech v'akala yirchusu espeneim, that a melech and akala are able to wash their face. So masnisa money, who's our Mishnah likes? Rav Chinina ben Tradyani. The Tanya, Amelech v'akala lo yirchusu espeneim. Tanakama says that the melech and the kala are not allowed to wash their face. Rav Chinina ben Tradyan Omar, Bishur Rav Eliezer, Amelech v'akala yirchusu espeneim. They are allowed to wash their face. Achayelo tinelos asandol. Rav Chinina ben Tradyan Omar, so this Bryce is, it's reminiscent of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we brought down Rav Eliezer directly. Over here, we're bringing down Rav Chananya ben Tradyan in the name of Rav Eliezer, that even though the Tanakhama says it's also for everybody to do these things, Rav Eliezer says, no, by a Chaya, it's mutter for to wear shoes. By a Melech and a Kala, it's mutter for them to wash their face. Says the Gemara, my time, a Melech, why is the Melech allowed to wash his face? Mishum dechsev Melech b'yafa yotech zeneinecha. Because the Melech has to cut an impressive appearance. Kala, my time, why can a Kala wash her face? Kadei shalos has gone albaila, so that her husband finds her attractive. Armalei ravla ravchia, Kala ad kama. Until when? How long after the wedding is she still called a Kala and she's mutter to wash her face? Amalei kedetanya, like we see in a brisa, ein monin tachshitim in a Kala kol shloshim yom. We do not refrain a Kala. We do not keep a Kala from putting on makeup and adorning herself all shloshim yom. The halacha over here that we mentioned is talking about the din of avela. So the question is, what happens if the kala, God forbid, loses a parent right before or right after the wedding? So she doesn't have to be noeg all of the nuhugi avelos for a certain amount of time, because we want to make sure that she continues to look beautiful for her husband. So kol shloshim yom, she's considered to be a kala for these purposes. Hachaya tinala sasanal mishum tzina. Hachaya a woman who gave birth is allowed to wear sandals because of the cold. And Amar Shmuel in Machmas Sakonas Akrav Mutter. However, if it's Machmas Sakonas Akrav, if we're concerned that there were scorpions around, and scorpions are very, very dangerous, and that if you're not wearing shoes, you might step on scorpions, then it's Mutter. And when we say Mutter, it means not only Mutter for the Chaya, it means Mutter for everybody. So the Chaya has a special dispensation to wear shoes, because she's considered to be a Chola. However, if there's a Makam Sakana, then everybody is allowed to wear shoes. All right, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick up again from Acheles Kosevas Agatsa. We're going to talk about the Shir Achila on Yom Kippur. Everybody have a great day.